Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I love what PK said about not getting used to God's word. When you say, you know, I've seen that verse before. I've heard it before. I like the example so much. I wonder why I never thought about it. He said, you know, and that's common sense. You don't wake up one day and say, what have I not eaten? How many water have I'm not drinking again? I'm not eating again. I've eaten before. Is that what happens? Come on, is that what happens? Oh. In school, at times you eat rice every day. The next day you still eat rice. You don't say, well, is it not rice? I'm eating again. If you get hungry, then you would eat. So, and Jesus likened the word of God to food. Do you know that? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So just like food that you don't get used to, same thing with the word of God. And like he said, if you go some days without taking water, it will show. If you go some days without listening to the word of God, you would know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, pay attention. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Pay attention. Something great would happen as you listen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
So let's start. You know, God is interested in changing lives. And when Peter was going to sum up all of Jesus' ministry, he did so with few words. Jesus lived for 33 years and did ministry for 3 years. So you would think if Peter was going to talk about Jesus and his ministry, it would be very long. But then when given the opportunity, he summed up all of Jesus' ministry in a verse. Go to Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. Quickly now. This is Peter talking. He's preaching. And he wants to talk about Jesus and his ministry. And this is what he says. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In other words, God anointed Jesus to change lives. Look at that. It says, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, full stop. And this is so remarkable because see how wonderful God is. He anointed Jesus, sent him forth, and walked with him. He was that interested in changing lives. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of course, if a man was sick and became healed, his life has changed. I told you guys about blind Bartimaeus. We shouldn't call him that anymore, right? This man was going to die a blind man. That was his destiny until he met Jesus and things changed. He moved from being that blind man on the streets begging to that man that received the miracle. I'm also thinking about that blind man in John 9 who had never seen. He was blind from birth, meaning that there is no hope. That's his destiny. Born a blind man to die a blind man until he met Jesus. And things changed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So see how interested God is in changing lives, in changing situations. Now this is Peter's testimony. And I think he learned it or heard it from Jesus. Because the Bible says in Luke 7, Jesus had worked a miracle. It was amazing. A man had died. And Jesus, just by talking, brought that man back to life. That's a miracle. And so that word, that testimony went round. Everybody heard, including John the Baptist's disciples. And so they told John, let's go there. Luke 7, verse 15. Luke 7, verse 15. Look on the screen, you'll learn something. And he that was dead sat up. That's after Jesus had talked to the dead man. And began to speak. I wonder what he was saying. How can you be dead? You get up and you're talking. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus delivered him to his mother. Jesus is so kind, isn't he? took him and said, hey, woman, here's your son. All right, verse 16. And there came a fear on all. Imagine you were going to bury someone and the person got up and started talking and started walking. They were all afraid. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us and that God had visited his people and they were correct. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Only God can do this kind of thing. All right. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And this rumor of him, you see, it became a rumor. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Those people who saw what happened went and spread the rumor. Have you ever heard of Palm Sunday? Oh, dear. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure you're in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Respond. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Palm Sunday?
Yes, Pastor.
What happens on Palm Sunday? Take palm fronds, right? And put their card, carry it up and down. But it started from somewhere, didn't it?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus was entering Jerusalem for the last time. And so you had people who brought the palm fronds and their clothes. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
And they kept it on the floor so the donkey that Jesus was riding would pass through. And the Bible says those people that came, they came because they heard Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that when Jesus worked a miracle of resurrection, the news went afar. And so here, he had raised this man from the dead. And the Bible says, this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And they didn't have social media. That's amazing. Went round. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come and see the man that raises the dead. I mean, if there was such a person, they have made it. Because, in fact, if anybody is misbehaving and they die, you know there is salvation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Now remember, I told you guys, Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. So he was based in Nazareth. John was based in Judea. Go back to verse 17. Quick, verse 17. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all what? Judea. So it's reached where John disciples were, and throughout all the region round about. So they heard, because the rumor was far wide, they heard. Verse 18. I just want to follow this, all right? And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. John was in prison here, and disciples came and said, Master, that guy, he's raising the dead. That's one you put your hand on. The Bible says John didn't do any miracles, do you know?
Yes.
John the Baptist never healed the sick. That's in John chapter 10. Did no miracle. But look at Jesus raising the dead. So the disciples went to gossip. Verse 19. Like some of you, you see something online and you come and disturb me. All right. And John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are thou he that should come or look for another? You know why, right? John was in prison. And this is the thought. Jesus was the Messiah, the one who saves. So if your cousin, a noted prophet of God, is in prison, shouldn't you save him first?
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And he's the one who introduced you to the world. You should take him seriously.
Yes.
He's your father in the faith. But now John has been in prison for so long, and Jesus did nothing. Didn't start a protest. Didn't visit him. Didn't even visit him. Think about it. But John is in the prison and he's saying Jesus is blessing others. Let me give you an example. Imagine you had some debts you wanted to clear, all right? Maybe your rent. And you have a senior brother and you saw it on social media where he's giving a speech because he just gave $1 million scholarship to 30 students. I think you'll send him a text message. Are you my brother or is something else happening? That's what happened here. All right? May God not let us have that kind of brother.
Amen.
And may you not be that kind of brother.
Amen.
All right. So here John is saying Jesus is even raising people from the dead. That is influence. Meaning if this man showed up in prison, they should respect him. Yet he has not visited him. So he sent two of his disciples. Said, ask him, are you the one to? Are you really the person? Or should we do for someone else? Verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, are thou he that should come or look for? You know, these guys were not even diplomatic. The way they said it is how they said it. Are thou he that should come or look for another? Are you the person or are we looking for someone else? Verse 21. And in that same hour, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. That was his response. That was his response. Verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. He is the one because he's the one changing lives. So Jesus, to prove that he was the sent one, he showed John he was changing lives. Just to show you how changing lives was mixed and linked to his ministry. To show you how God is interested in changing lives. That when Jesus was going to prove that God sent him, he proved it by saying, listen, I'm changing lives. You know, one day he told the Jews that even though you don't believe me for the work's sake. See the lives that I'm changing and believe me because of it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord. All of this to say that God is interested in what? Changing lives. Not just the lives of others, but also your life. Go to Luke 4. Same Jesus. Same wonderful Jesus. Verse 18. He's talking. This is Jesus. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed, you know, oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When we say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is where we learned it. Jesus declaring concerning himself. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When he talked about how anointed he was, he linked it to changing lives. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He had anointed me to change lives. That's what he's saying here. He said, I'll preach the gospel to the poor. The one who is brokenhearted, I would heal. I'll preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, if Jesus is somewhere, we should expect all of these things. If you are brokenhearted, he will heal your heart. He will heal that broken heart. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
If you feel captive, held captive by a bad habit or some family village problems, he said he came to preach deliverance to the captives. If you're making silly mistakes, at times you make a decision. After 2 days, you wonder if you were blind when you're making that decision. He said he came to give recovering of sight to the blind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you're hurt, there are those that are very hurt. Hurt because of what their parents told them. Hurt because of their neighbor. Hurt because of Nigeria. Said he came to set at liberty them that abuse. That liberty doesn't mean you leave the country though. All right. So Jesus linked the anointing being on him to changing lives. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And because he was interested in changing lives, when he was leaving the earth to heaven, he told his disciples to also change lives. That's what he did. In Mark 16, he told them, lay hands on the sick, they would recover. Preach the gospel so they would hear and they would be saved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But then he introduced to them, and he had done that before, but he emphasized the one person that is significant in your life if you want to change lives. The one person that is the most significant if you want your own life to change, and that is the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8, quickly. He told them, look at it. He says, well, you shall receive power. What is power? The ability to cause changes. I've told you many times. Power, if it is power, there will be a change. Are you in this place? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If it is power, you can cause change. For example, if I told Inemeka to carry Ezine with one hand, and he does it, what would you say? This guy has power. Why? Because he by his own might changed that location. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
he caused a change. At times you look at two people fighting, you're telling them don't fight, don't fight, and then they're fighting. One punched the other person, and you see the tooth come out. And the face swollen. You say that guy that punched this guy has power. Why? Because he changed the face, changed the dental structure, changed the man's life. So if it is power, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There'll be a change. But all those changes, like punching someone, is for the negative. It's negative. But yet, Jesus is promising his disciples that, listen, I want you to have that power where you can change situations from bad to good. Verse 8, it says, well, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So who is the person necessary for this power? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Any change you want to happen in your life, any change you want to happen around you, it can only happen by the Holy Ghost. Even in Jesus' life, he said the things he did, it was the Holy Ghost. Go to John 14, verse 10. John 14, verse 10. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? That same Holy Ghost that can change anything is living inside of you.
Yes.
You have to train yourself on your response. Right? Train yourself. If you wake up in the morning and you see some skin reaction, something in your body not looking right, be conscious that the one that can change anything is inside of you. That thing can change and become normal. Do you understand? Train your response. Train yourself to respond right the first time. Not the wrong way. Not start saying, what did I eat? What cream did I use? No, be conscious the Holy Ghost is inside of me. This can change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus is talking. He says, believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak unto myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. The Bible says, God and Jesus dwells in us through the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's saying it is the Father in me that is doing the works. He's the one changing lives. And so God is interested in changing your life. He's interested in changing lives. And so he sends the Holy Ghost to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Let that soak. The Holy Ghost in you can change anything. That is the power. The ability to change anything. To change your life. To change your health. To change your finances. To change the wisdom with which you operate. That is what the Holy Ghost can do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
But you know, in life, you need courage. You know that? In life, courage is necessary. You know, at times you can know the right thing to do, but you require courage to do it. Do you know that?
Yes, Pastor.
At times you know that the right response is to remain on God's word, but you require courage to remain there. Courage to insist on the right process. At times someone can say, I will not collect bribes. And then someone who you really look up to come with a bribe. You need courage to say no. Not because you're tempted, but because you don't want to offend that person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you need courage. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 And that is what God told Joshua. You know, at times you know God's word. You know what God wants you to do. You know what God thinks. But you might just need courage to follow through. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, there are people who meet me and, you know, reach out to me and say things like, you know, I don't know. I know I'm supposed to believe for my healing, but I'm scared, you know, want to do surgery. And I understand that. At times you know that God can heal you. You know, God can do anything. You know, he can change the situation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you do need courage to stay true, to stay put. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's what God told Joshua. Go to Joshua 1.
Verse 5.
Courage to say no, even though everybody is saying yes. Courage to walk on that narrow path, even though everybody is going the wide way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Listen to God talking to Joshua after Moses had died. This is Joshua's coronation. And it is God that is giving the speech. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. He's saying to Joshua, oh dear, don't you love the way God talks? He talks like God. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Only God can talk like this.
Yes.
That means he has looked at everybody in the world and said, Joshua, no one can stand before you. He said, all the days of thy life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Yeah.
I receive this from myself. Nobody can successfully oppose you. That's what he's saying. Nobody can mount a challenge against you and win. They can try, but they will fail.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 6. You know, it's good when God says, I will not fail you. God is so personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not fail you. Trust me. Right? I will not fail you. This trust you have in me, that people are telling you to do something else. Say, I will not fail you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know what that means? He means I will show up for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, Pastor.
I will show up for you. When they are mentioning your name, I'll be there.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage. You see, after he tells him, I will not fail you or forsake you, now he's saying, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because things can come up and make you forget what I said. Are you in this place? At times the challenge can be scary that you almost forget God. So he tells you, listen, be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Oh, glory to God. Think about it. Jesus went to Jairus' house and he saw people crying. Why? Because the daughter was dead. She was dead and they knew it. It took courage to say, listen, this girl is not dead. She's sleeping. And sure enough, God did not fail him. So at times in life, you know the response, but you look at people's faces and you want to mourn like them. You want to sound hopeless like they sound hopeless because you want to read the room. But there are some cases you should not read the room. Else you'll be affected by that room. He says, be what? Strong and very courageous. He says, that thou mayest, this is why I like this verse so much. He says, be strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Think about this. He says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Meaning that in keeping the law, at times you can get timid. But he says, listen, to do the word, you need strength. You need courage. And you know what? Have confidence that when you express that strength and courage, God will never fail you. You see, the word will never fail. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
The word would always work. But you might need that strength to do the word. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
I'll give you an example. Let's say you know this particular engine oil. When you put it in the car would work. All right? Let's say there's a car, it's not functioning well. It's not working well. In fact, it's Toyota, and the chief engineers of Toyota Nigeria have said nothing can help this car. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
The mechanics, roadside mechanics too, they've given up on the car as per what the chief engineers have said. All right? And you're right there. But you know the issue is changing the oil. You know. Do you know it will take strength and courage to oppose what the chief engineers have said?
Yes.
But it says, have that strength. Be that courageous. When you do it, it will not fail. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
At times, maybe it's a medical condition. And the top specialists in the country have said, listen, there is no hope. The only other person that can help you is in India. Then you contact the hospital in India and they say, listen, there is no hope. Now, the top specialists have told you there is no hope. It will take strength and courage to hope against hope. But you know what? There is someone that is greater than those specialists. And he's the one that said, be courageous. Be strong enough to hope against hope. And when you do, he says you will not fail. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so in life, knowing to do something is not really enough. You need the boldness to do it. Knowing to respond in a particular way is not always enough. At times, you need the boldness to respond. There are people that have had thieves attack them. They looked at the thief very well, and there's really no gun, no heavy issue. And the thief is running with their phone, and they are just standing, and they are just looking. After the thief has gone, they shout, thief! But the thief is gone. Now, later on, they'll think, why didn't I chase him? Right? Why didn't I chase him? Why didn't I say thief? While he was still here. Sometimes you might know what you should do, but you get stuck. You get scared. You need courage to do the right thing. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But you see, that's why I said the Holy Ghost changes lives.
Yes.
When he comes into your life, one of the things you are promised by his presence is boldness. Boldness to do the word. Boldness to insist on the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Boldness. And the Bible says that when you realize the Spirit of God is in you, he's the one that would cause you to will and to do God's good pleasure. Go to Philippians 2 verse 13. Meaning that you not only will that which is good, he would cause you to do it. You not only will to do the word of God, he will cause you to act on the word. Verse 13. Let's read it together. One to go. That's the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that is in you. He's the one that will make you bold enough to know this is what God wants me to do. And you know what? You do it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Go to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. So you need courage and boldness to navigate life. And the Holy Ghost can make you bold. In fact, look at this. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always, always, hallelujah, always, not sometimes, not once in a while, always causes us. Meaning he will curse you. He will put you in a strait to ensure you triumph. What a promise. Some of you didn't really see this verse. Your response shows you didn't see it. Look at this. He's saying in your life, God is at work in you. And he would curse you.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with your efforts. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
This has nothing to do with your intellect. Your intelligence. It says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. You wake up, you want to go through that street, and God causes you to go this other way. That is what he can do. You want to send a mail by 7 p.m., but for some reason, it's 4 a.m., and God causes you to send that mail. That is what he can do. And he says, make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us, in every place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost can make you bold. He can change your life. That's where I'm going to. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
I started by telling you that God is interested in causing changes. And it is the Holy Ghost that causes changes. Now, when the Holy Ghost is in you, he wants to change your life. And one of the things he wants to do is to make you bold. Bold to have the kind of results that only God can influence. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So this is what the Holy Ghost can do for you. He can make you bold. I'm thinking of Peter. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus. And after they caught him, or after he realized he had denied Jesus, he went away crying. He didn't recount his denial. And the Bible says, after Jesus had died, the apostles and the disciples, they locked themselves in a room for fear of the Jews. They were scared. But after Peter received the Holy Ghost, in the presence of those same people that killed Jesus, he preached the gospel. And the Bible says 3,000 souls were added. He didn't fear anymore. Before, he was hiding because he thought they could kill him. Now the Holy Ghost is in him and he doesn't fear death. Are you in this place? The fear of death has become inconsequential to this man. That is what the Holy Ghost can do for you. The Holy Ghost in your life doesn't mean you go around threatening people. It means that when you require that boldness, that courage to act, you would have it. That's what it means. The Bible tells us of David. And he was anointed king, do you know? Are you in this place?
Yes.
David was not anointed king the way Saul was anointed king. Saul was anointed king in the presence of all of Israel. David was anointed king in his father's house, almost in secret. And I told you, he nearly missed the coronation. He was in the bush. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So after he was anointed king, listen to this. It wasn't about the oil that Samuel poured on his head. It's about the Holy Ghost. After he was anointed king, I can tell you that David's physical structure did not change. He didn't become more muscular. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He was still that scrappy kid. In fact, after the whole service, he went back to the bush. Nobody came and said, long live the king. Nope. Same David in the bush. But one day, now, the first day passed. This man, something has changed in his life. But it is not obvious to the physical eyes. Just like what Jesus said, that when the Holy Ghost comes, the world cannot receive him because it cannot see him. So it is not obvious to the physical life. Physical eyes, but that is not the same boy. Something has changed. But while he's tending the sheep, eating food, walking like every other person, he looks normal. Are you in this place? Until the situation comes that would cause that anointing to be expressed. Now listen to David himself. Go to 1 Samuel 17. I like this story so much. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Praise the Lord. So when a change happens in your life, it doesn't have to be physical. But it has happened. I remember my book of Bible stories. How many of you saw that? All right. I remember I really wanted that book. Begged my mom to buy me that book. So finally she bought a book. It was not that book. I think anybody that drew the diagrams in that book should be fired forever. Praise the Lord. Very hideous diagrams. But I think one of the diagrams that stood out to me in that book was Solomon, or rather Samson. Did you ever see the picture? Do you still remember?
Yeah.
The picture of Samson with the locks, right? The dreadlocks, but he was very muscular. But there's no place in the Bible that says Samson was muscular. None. And God is quite good with descriptions. He described Absalom, that he was a very beautiful man. He described Saul, that Saul was taller than everybody. But there was no description that Samson was muscular. But I understand why they would have made him muscular, because they're looking at it physically. He didn't need to be muscular, because it wasn't the muscles that helped him. It was the Holy Ghost and his hair. Do you understand? So my point is, when a change has happened in a man, you might not see it physically, but it is there. And when that change needs to be expressed, you will see it. So David has been anointed king. He's back to the bush, taking care of his sheep. Nobody is telling him, long live the king, but he's king in the eyes of God. And so one day, David tells us something that happens while he's in the bush. Go to verse 34. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Rounding up, pay attention. You know, like some of you, there are people who miss church service. Don't miss church service. Why? Because the word of God is changing your life. You might not see it physically, but something is being deposited inside of you. So that when a situation arises, you would respond in a way that would even shock you. And that's because of the deposit of the word of God in you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you eat food, like I said, your eyes don't grow out immediately. Is that what happens?
No.
Your neck just increase, just expand. In fact, as you're eating, your clothes tear. Is that what happens?
No.
The only thing that likes to make noise is stomach. By the time you're eating, like you're pregnant. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you don't see the change. But over time, you notice something has been happening since, so, and you didn't know. Same thing with the word of God. So you listen. Now, David has been anointed king. He looks normal until one day he's in the bush. Look at this. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, he's telling the story, kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb. You know, this story, I've looked at it many times. You know, people who think that one time a lion came, then afterwards a bear came. But that would be good English, what he explained. From what he's saying, it happened at once. Because he didn't say, and took lambs. Do you understand? He said, and took a lamb. So there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Let's stop here. If you're in the bush, with three goats. Some people are laughing because they already know what they would do. And there came a tiger. Some people wait to see what the tiger wants to do. They would just be glad that they are alive to say they saw the tiger, but they escaped. If you ask me, where are the goats? They say, my life is not more important than goats. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But in their moments of calmness, they would wish they had saved the goats, because that's money. Are you in this place? I mean, if it was you, wouldn't you wish you could save the goats somehow? And for some of you, you save the goats, right? So even though you might know what to do, you want to help the goats, you want to chase the tiger, wisdom, according to Nigeria, is to pack your load and go if you see a tiger. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But look at David. This man has been anointed. He says, as someone kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Meaning that while he was there, he saw as this lion and bear took the lamb and they were going. Mission accomplished. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They have dinner for that night. So you can imagine their shock. I mean, the lion and the bear. When David, go to verse 35. And I went out after him and what? Smote him. I mean, this has never happened before. I can imagine in the lion kingdom, they are perplexed. How is it possible? Normally, when a human being sees a lion, they run. You see their back. This time, the lion said he didn't come to kill a human being. Came carefully, took the lamb, and went away in peace. No bloodshed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You think David would be happy? But you see, now he had the Holy Ghost. He knew what he wanted to do, and he went about by the power of the Spirit and did it. He says, and I went out after, meaning he was the one who chased the lion. Think about that. And smote him. So I chased him, and I killed him, and I removed the lamb from his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard, and what? And what? That boy, when he was done killing that lion, went back home looking normal. So I said, when the change has happened, you will still look normal. But when that change needs to be expressed, you will see that work. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost is inside of you. And he is willing to change your life. to make you more bold, to make you courageous. In that bus, when something terrible wants to happen, you will have the right response by the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
So you may leave your house looking gentle, meek, and mild. But when situation arises, you have the right response. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Knowing this, what should be your point of action, your line of action? What should you do? Now that I know the Holy Ghost is in me, and one of the things that he can do is to cause me to be bold. How do I work with him to ensure that is my reality? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, quickly. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So now you have the Holy Ghost. I said he'll cause you to be courageous. Because in life, you need courage. At times, for some of you, you need courage to ask your boss for a raise. That's what he's waiting for you to ask. You wonder what kind of boss is that? And the Holy Ghost can give you that courage. He can also refrain you. Because he's the one that causes you to triumph. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you see, you have to be conscious of him. So you have a part to play. In verse 4, he said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. Now, who gives you the ability to speak in tongues? The Holy Ghost. But it is you that will still speak. Because it is your mouth. It is you that needs edifying. Are you in this place? He will not speak for you. Because he doesn't need edifying. It is you. So he's saying that this one is your responsibility. While the Holy Ghost can make you bold, he gives you the ability. He says, when you speak in tongues, you embolden yourself. Edify means you build upon what is there. Meaning that if you are courageous, small like this, as you speak in tongues, you build upon that courage. You're now more courageous. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? It's scientific. The more you speak in tongues, the more built up you are. The more you speak in tongues, the more built up you are. The more you speak in tongues, the more you become a strong Christian with strong responses. Go to Jude 1 verse 20. At times you've heard the word of God. But at times you need that courage to do the word of God. And that is what speaking in tongues can do for you. Look at it. Verse 20. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, look at this. All right, look at this. If this is my most holy faith, all right, this is level. My most holy faith. And it tells me that praying in the Holy Ghost, I can build on it. What does that mean? It means that most holy faith would increase. Then it gets to this level. Right? When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build on it. It increases. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So even if the Holy Ghost has come into your life to cause you to be bold, you have a job to do. Every morning, before you go out, you know in life you need courage. Courage to insist on God's word. Courage to be kind even though you should be wicked. Courage to stand steadfast in the word of God, even though you should waver. He's saying by speaking in tongues, you can build yourself up. You see, you don't go out without building up yourself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Without edifying yourself. Speaking in tongues is God's idea. It is God's method for your edification. It is God's method to change your life. Because a man who has been built up, his life has been changed. He has been elevated. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he's saying, that one, you can initiate. You can decide today to be bolder than I was yesterday. And there is something you can do. You can speak in tongues. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 You say, you know what? The way I responded when someone shouted fire, I didn't like it. Because I ran with every other person. And I don't like that response. You can be honest with yourself. I didn't like the way I responded. When I hit my leg, I didn't like what came out of my mouth. I said, I've nearly died though. No, that is not how I should talk. So what do I need? I need strength to respond with the word of God at every single time. So what do I do? It says, build up yourself. Edify yourself. Speak in other tongues. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Instead of asking, you mean after many years of being a Christian, this is how I still responded. I still shouted like every other person. In fact, I was the one in front while everybody was running. Instead of complaining like that, plan to fix the problem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Speak in other tongues. At times you're with your friends and they're talking about something, maybe in the country or in your body or something. And they're all talking. And you know what you should say. You know the response you should give, but you are not bold enough to give it. And after that conversation, you feel so bad. Because it's like you agree with the wrong things they were saying. No problem. What can you do? You can change your life. So next time you meet them, you'll be bold enough to speak the word of God. Praise the Lord. You'll be bold enough to speak the word of God. You'll be bold enough to insist on the word of God. Think about Daniel that insisted that he was not going to eat of the king's meat. That same courage plus more was what he used when the king said, hey, if you don't bow down, I'll throw in the lion's den. But he already started. He didn't bow down. Throw into the lion's den. You know what God said? God said, I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. The only thing I need is that you're courageous. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So look at Daniel. God knew he wasn't going to fail him. He knew the lion would not eat him up. The question was Daniel courageous enough to insist on trusting God? And he was. And it happened. And you know what? That boldness you require. Now you don't have to wait for some outside force. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. Meaning that at every given time, you can so program yourself to be courageous enough to insist on God's word and see how God would never fail you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Speak in other tongues. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are different types of speaking in tongues. One says, which one is this one? Let me tell you. There are those that speak in tongues as though they are modeling. Right? So they speak in tongues. If you had a generator that sounded like that, is it on? Come and talk to me. Is it on? Is that generator on? Even the generators that they put noiseless generator make a lot of noise. So going is nice. You're not doing anything. Bible says when Jesus prayed, all right? His sweat were like great drops of blood. And when God was going to inspire us unto prayer in the book of James chapter 5, the example he used, he made mention of how the man prayed. His position in prayer. Listen, that was a verse on prayer teaching us how to pray and effect changes. And look at the example he gave, Elijah. He said, this man put his head between his knees when you go and study. And pray. That is serious prayer. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is serious speaking in tongues. So when I say speak in tongues, don't speak as though you are doing modeling competition. Generate that power. You see, you want boldness, don't you?
Yes, Pastor.
So you generate it. Doesn't mean you should, listen, this is what I mean. Doesn't mean you should, rah, rah, rah. That's good. But you can be intense in this place.
Yes,
you want something, so your mind is there. So every tongue that comes out, impactful. You're not just speaking just because of speaking. No. Liga braka so tarabaya. Leko sukabate gratusa penoko sukabaya.